Hi there, this is Diana Stinn.
And Jill Mann.
And we're here today with our
Squawkcast!
Yay!
And everybody else in the city!
Well, it seems like it. Wow, what a busy day today, hey, Jill.
It has. It's just been hopping since I walked in the door.
We've had a ton of people show up today to come to the school for a tour, which is very exciting, but it's just very unusual to have quite so many people show up all on one day. Maybe it's related to our topic.
Yep.
Little gal that was in today is unhappy with grade one.
That's so sad. Grade one should be nothing but fun.
But part of it was the fact that the parents felt that the child's innate gifts were not being honored or nurtured. Yep. And that's our topic for today, is nurturing your child's gifts.
Yep. And again, we are kind of following along with our book, Free Range Learning, that we are loving.
Absolutely. By Laura Grace Weldon.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic book available at the front desk if you're following along at home with us. $24.95. And you too can have a fantastic book to doodle in. You should see Jill and I's books.
It's kind of, actually, this little chapter, it's just little, starts on page 19, and I couldn't find my highlighter, so this is actually really quite boring, because it's just pencil and pen notes, not pretty and colorful.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we could doodle on the side.
Yeah.
Okay, so innate gifts. These are the gifts that our children are born with.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always see them necessarily in babyhood. But we know that our kids have very distinct personalities already.
Yep. Some of them cannot sit still at the dinner table even, and they wiggle, and they maybe need to stand beside their chair while they eat dinner, and different things like that. You might notice little things like that.
Yeah, sometimes things that are traits that are annoying to us as parents when they're little are things that cause them to become amazing adults.
Yep. Sometimes highly organized adults, if they find them sorting their dinner, that it must be a certain, you know, shade going from left to right, or, you know, there has to be a certain sequencing, or maybe they just spend so much time when you go into, what is that store called? Claire's little jewelry store.
Yes.
Making sure all the necklaces are hanging the longest to the back. To the front.
Laura Grace Weldon, in her book Free Range Learning, gives a couple of examples. So one that she has talked about is a little girl who creates chaos with her toys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because then that same little girl as an adult is conducting a postdoctoral research study on string theory.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the same characteristics, trying to make sense out of chaos, become important.
Yes.
The second example she has there, and my gosh, we would never recognize this with any of the kids here.
No, never.
A young boy's high energy frustrates his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. Never seen that.
Yep. He, you know, breaks his collarbone skateboarding, you know, kind of just on the edge behavior. And, you know, he states he only feels alive on the edge.
Absolutely. But that same boy then at 19 is already certified as a mountain search and rescue volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And that same kid is harnessing that energy and talents and that thrill by becoming an emergency medical technician or paramedic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that would be, you know, some real adrenaline rush and having to work in a hurry and function. And that would not suit a very quiet, methodical child.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we need those special gifts, and we're not all the same, and we need to honor those gifts. But again, there can be a real challenge in recognizing it as a gift.
Well, some days it may not be a gift to the parent. And, you know, on and on a side note, that nor do I think that we need to take our children's sometimes obnoxious behavior as a gift.
Right.
You know, they still have to be able to function within their family and society and that kind of thing, too. So, I mean, I know, you know, my daughter has some lovely gifts. But she also had to be taught how to temper them occasionally when it wasn't maybe appropriate.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes the school system doesn't necessarily see them as gifts, mm-hmm. and kids themselves don't recognize them yes. as gifts. And so it can be incredibly challenging for young people to understand that that incredible energy mm-hmm. is what might allow them to be an entrepreneur down the road mm-hmm. and to literally birth a business.
Yep.
That sheer determination and willpower.
Fire in the belly. I was talking to a dad this morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then that's the thing we were talking about when they grow up and start getting jobs, right?
Is, yep.
It's really easy to tell who's at the job, who's just putting in time. And it's really easy to tell who's at that job who has a fire in their belly about that topic.
Right.
If you can combine those two things, I call that a successful life.
There you go. Now, Jill, I noticed in one section, you have a big circle around one section there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about that section because it says, when left to their own devices, children act a bit like geniuses.
Mm-hmm. So, I found this very interesting.
Yeah. What's a genius? What do they do?
What do they do? I mean, really, that is kind of the trick. But what they're talking about here is that they don't learn in a straight line. They tend to be highly individual. They may not be all that interested in what others think of them and don't necessarily apply common sense to their pursuits. We've seen all of these in so many children.
Some of the adults that work here at Phoenix,
Hold on. I think this last one applies to me. When their concentration is interrupted, they may react with frustration. I think I might have done that this week.
Probably me too.
But I'm trying to do this thing. I want to do this thing.
Hey, does that mean we're geniuses?
Hey, high five. And then it goes on to say that these traits are more common in the youngest children before we teach them.
We had talked a little bit about IQ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's interesting is a lot of studies are basically showing that IQ contributes, 5 to 10% towards someone's success.
Yeah.
And in truth, there is a lot of other things that will hold them in good stead and carry them forth into the future.
Mm-hmm.
IQ is one factor, but it's not the only thing. Mm-hmm. And yet school is geared towards putting such an emphasis on those kinds of academic traits.
Yep.
What do you think happens, though, Jill, when kids and their innate gifts are not honored?
Well, I think you see some acting out, and I see mm-hmm. you see some shutting down.
And,
you know?
And what do you think happens with kids who go from being a child where those gifts were not honored, they were told they were bad kids, they mm-hmm. were told they were disruptive, they were mm-hmm. Challenging, you know, just sit down, be quiet, learn like everybody else, and then they go on to become adults. So what do you think happens with those kids?
Personally, I think they become adults in perhaps in a role of the just showing up. They, mm-hmm. they've not explored the fire in their belly because they've been told that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think that they become dissatisfied adults. And I think you'll see a lot of them acting out. I mean, I hate to even say that it would go so far as to raise the crime rate, but I mean, you know, really, if they've been told, you know, you're bad, you're wrong, you're this,
yeah.
we all tend to live up to what we've been told.
Yeah, absolutely. And so instead of harnessing those powers for good, well, but truthfully,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They fall off the track and off
yes.
the rail because the things have been, they've been told all their life that it's wrong or it's bad or why can't they just be like everyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Who the heck wants to be just like everyone else?
You know,
I don't get that one.
I don't either. And you know, as adults, when you get into the adult world, you find there's a lot more leeway for really not being expected to be like everyone else. But why do we do this to our kids?
Yeah.
Just toe the line. Just do what everybody else is doing. And but yet as adults, we really do celebrate. Oh, this person has made such inroads, such forward thinking in this field.
And we've been having discussions about this with redesigning the curriculum, with inspiring education, all that kind of stuff in Alberta. Looking at an inclusive education and an environment that essentially... What's happening, though, is people are applying a concept of equality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're not actually looking at the individual. Mm-hmm. They're wanting everything to be equal
yeah.
and a perception of fairness. But really what ends up happening is equal means the same cookie cutter for you
mm-hmm.
and you and you, mm-hmm. and we don't really honor the individual and their talents.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you see that in a lot of things. You see that in sports. Mm-hmm. Some kids excel at sports. Some kids just love sports, and they might not be very good at them, but they are having a wonderful time. So which child is actually successful there? I think both.
Yeah, I think both.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that our society can accommodate both.
Yes.
Right? There are pleasure leagues, and it's all about the fun and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And then there are very serious competitive situations.
Yep.
And so, you know, our schools are working towards that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope anyways. Yep. But the nice part is about homeschooling, you have the opportunity to work with your child mm-hmm. and their innate gifts.
Yep.
And to tailor the entire program, to mm-hmm. tailor everything you do around those amazing gifts.
Yep. Yep. Their gifts, their interests, that may also change over the years.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Yep, totally.
Yep.
So one of the things that Jill and I had decided to do in this podcast, sorry, you're in for it now. Okay, on the table, if you can imagine, we have a whole bunch of pieces of paper. There they are. Yep. We collected a bunch of ideas for topics because what we thought we would do is take a topic. Let's hope we don't get the financial management one.
I'm going to sit back real quiet.
Anyways, and brainstorm around that and show you how we might, for example, with our own kids, nurture their innate abilities and dovetail a program and some learning activities around a specific topic, but with our kids in mind.
Yep.
You ready, Jill?
And we might even hit some curriculum objectives, too.
Woohoo!
Who has to pick?
You go ahead, Jill.
Okay, what do we got? Rainforest! I am feeling very prepared.
Okay. Well, our first theme for next year is rainforest.
Yay!
And so we've already done a fair bit of brainstorming around this topic because the new program guide will be out shortly. And you will be able to see some of the fantastic classes that we came up with around rainforest and the amazing room that Jill and her team are going to be creating. She was doing orangutans yesterday. Oh my gosh, they're such cute, hairy little fellows.
They are. They're very fuzzy.
And very cute. Okay, rainforest. So considering your kids, considering my kids, what would be the kinds of things? What I had figured, Jill, was we would just shout out the kooky, nutty, crazy things that we would come up with. We wouldn't implement all of these by any stretch. But you're ready? On your mark. Get set. Go.
We have tropical rainforest and we have temperate rainforests, which are like the coastal BC rainforests. Well,
absolutely.
Those trees look pretty darn different.
Absolutely. We could get in the car and drive there and go see them.
I would love that. Can we do that?
Okay, so we could also do some, talking about orangutans, right?
Yeah.
We could do some exploration of that. We could perhaps take a trip to a zoo and look at orangutans. Mm-hmm. Did you know, I was listening to a science podcast the other day, and they had a little thing on there that was talking about apes and iPads.
No way.
Yeah, totally. We're not the only ones that use iPads, apparently.
Someone, I knew there was a reason why I grasped it.
But the program is called Apps for Apes,
uh-huh.
and they have basically used iPads and some very simple apps.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a memory, you know, the memory card game.
Yes,
thing,
yes.
With orangutans. Now, you could look at butterflies. Just thinking there, I was just thinking about those big, beautiful blue butterflies.
Yes.
So there's tons of stuff there. You could make butterflies. You could catch butterflies. You can learn about butterfly life cycle.
You could go to the zoo to the butterfly habitat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
that would be fantastic.
Place.
Printing the letter B.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can print the letter B anywhere, right? So we've done some ones with shaving cream.
Uh-huh. What's
sand?
The poetry one where you write butterfly down a column and then you come up with all the words for each letter? And I can't remember what that's called because.
Yeah, I can't remember either because we're under pressure at the
moment. We're under pressure. I can't think of it.
Okay, so what else could you do? You know, when I think of rainforest, I think of the color green.
Mm-hmm.
So for a grade one student, you could have the exploration of color in the rainforest. And so to me, like I said, I really think of green a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we get green? Yellow?
And blue.
Blue. Yeah. And you had to think about
this. You stopped me for a second. I am an artist.
How do we get green?
How do we get green? I panicked for a second.
Anyway, so like I said, you know, then you can start talking about mixing colors, primary colors, secondary colors, all that kind of stuff. I would be interested in finding out how light or lack of light mm-hmm. affects our perception of color.
Well, and again, sorry, but even there we can go, why is it dark? And, you know, because there's the canopy and
Absolutely.
The understory and you know, all these different
pieces,
things.
Yeah.
And what are the light? What kind of creatures live there? What kind of plants live there? Because of the different types of light they may have.
Exactly.
So that would be a fun thing.
And then, of course, if a child picks out a favorite creature, mm-hmm. then you could maybe get involved with some of the various wildlife organizations mm-hmm. or whatever, and they can start to write some letters mm-hmm. or maybe make a donation mm-hmm. To help save a particular animal.
Yep.
Gee, there's a ton of food that comes
I know. I was just thinking fiddleheads from the BC rainforest,
yes,
like
yes.
cooking with mm-hmm. the fiddleheads. And
a trip to TNT. Jill
yes.
and I love to
oh
do this.
Gosh,
and we
fun.
Love to take families to TNT.
Yeah.
Because being an Asian market, some families are a little leery about mm-hmm. going mm-hmm. into somewhere they don't know.
Yeah.
Well, man, we love to go there. And
we did a scavenger hunt with the kids in
we
TNT.
Did.
It was great. They had
we
to
did.
Find all these things.
Yep. And then we celebrated with the bubble tea.
Yeah. And we ate everything.
Yes, we did. And there's lots of medicines that come from the rainforest.
Oh, most of our medicines have been developed from plants in the rainforest.
Absolutely. So there's a whole lot there. Okay, what else could we do, Jill?
Rainforest math. Okay.
Yeah. No, seriously. Because, you know, piranhas.
Oh!
Piranhas take
You throw
bites.
One cow in the river and there's 12
and see how
piranhas.
It gets attracted.
And how fast does it come down? Which is then like a dissection class. And, you know, hey, you know, you're okay. You
okay,
know.
But you could take a trip to a local fish store,
mm-hmm.
An aquarium, and have a look at some of the kinds of different fish that are there. Talk about piranhas. Heck, you could watch river monsters.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my son watches that. It gives me creeps. Well, how many animals have been discovered in the rainforest that they thought were extinct?
Absolutely.
How many animals are at risk because of maybe some of our, you know, ecology poor stewardship?
Yep. Absolutely. So we could talk about deforestation. We could
mm-hmm.
talk about erosion.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about the purpose of the rainforest and, mm-hmm. and all those kinds of concepts. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Biodiversity.
Yep.
Absolutely. We could, you know, I like bromeliads.
Oh, we're making some for the creation studio.
They're super cool. They're like these ginormous flowers and they fill up with water
yep.
and the little frogs use them for pools.
I know. And they eat out of them. You'll find fish in them. Sometimes too. I'm not really certain how that fish got in there, but I saw a picture of one that had a little fish in there.
Oh, that would be super cool.
Maybe and it was photoshopped.
Maybe. Just never know nowadays.
Never know.
But, you know, your little girl who has a Barbie could make a bromeliad for a swimming pool.
Ooh. There you go.
There's something to remember from your childhood.
Well, and you know, the one thing that I'm kind of noticing too, you know, we're working on the rainforests in the back and we're doing two types. So we're doing, you know, the tropical and we're doing the temperate. Well, one thing I do notice as I'm researching the different animals, because, you know, I have to learn to put each one of these together.
Totally.
Is I'm researching the animals in them. And, you know, the animals in the rainforest do not seem... I suppose that they are in a way camouflaging themselves because it is so bright and green, but it seems like they are just downright out of their way to become garish.
Three-toed sloths, though, aren't.
No, that's
true. They actually
true.
Grow mold.
But the frogs I'm looking at, the butterflies
yes,
I'm looking at,
yes.
the plants, the birds, they yeah. don't seem interested in hiding in the least, whereas in the... BC ones, I'm noticing, you know, we have wolves, we have moose, we have, you know, animals that kind of blend, you
yep.
know, and the plants kind of blend. So I'm kind of thinking, I think this one sounds a bit more like a party over there.
Yeah, well, you could have a party. And we haven't even touched on the fact that, of course, the people who live in the rainforest, I mean,
mm-hmm.
come in as much diversity as the rainforest itself.
Absolutely.
So you
Absolutely.
Could look at that as well.
What are their dwellings like? I mean,
yeah.
we're looking at that because, you know, that's one of the things that we're kind of tucking in there. And, you know, it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
They're very interesting differences.
Having kids create tents. Kids love tents.
I love tents.
Too. Absolutely. But, you know, so exploring dwellings,
yeah.
looking at what you can get away with in a rainforest, what your concerns might be.
What might that family have for dinner?
Absolutely. So there's tons and tons of things you can do with your kids when exploring a topic. Mm-hmm. And when they're done, move on.
Yeah.
Move on to something else.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, Jill, this is a child-led structure
yes.
where the child is indicating a desire, a passion, an interest,
yep.
and then you as the parent are furnishing and supplying stuff. And when Megan used to do this kind of thing, well, you and I spent years hitting garage sales
mm-hmm.
and owned books of all sorts.
We called it scatter theory. We scattered everything all over the floor of my house, and if they tripped over it and fell, maybe they'd read it.
There you go. That has some merit. But what I was going to say was that sometimes Megan would say, okay, oh, look, there's a ladybug, Mom. And I would whip down to my library
mm-hmm.
and literally be able to pull out a box full of stuff that I had collected over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen just overnight.
No.
It was many years of collection.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to say, yeah, ladybugs, look. You know, here's some stuff from ladybugs. And we'd start exploring more ladybugs and catch it. And away it would go. And then when she was done, the box went back on the shelf and away we went.
But look at where we are now. Even, I mean, like, our kids are not that old. Okay, we are not that old. But, you know,
sorry,
now you're out there, you're looking, you see that ladybug, you whip out that computer that's in your pocket, being your phone.
Yeah.
And you can right away, you can take a picture of that ladybug.
Mm-hmm.
They can write a little story about that ladybug or where they were when they saw that ladybug. You can look up information about that ladybug. I tell you, I wish I'd had my phone back then. I do it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, well,
absolutely.
Just took a picture of my new styrofoam.
Yes, thank you very much. You know, we happily accept donations here at the school.
Yeah.
And one of our daddies works for a movie production company, and he was designing some set items for them, and their scrap material they donated to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, we happily accept that kind of stuff here at the school. And when we were touring people today, I love to point out, oh yeah, that was donated by the business across the street, and that was donated by a mommy over here, and one of our grandpas did this.
Yeah.
It's a community.
It is. And, you know, really, I mean, we would not be able to do what we do in the way that we do it without the support.
Absolutely. So, with that in mind, a couple of things for those of you who are our Phoenix Foundation listeners. First of all, thank you for listening. We appreciate it immensely. Please feel free to leave us some comments both on our website, and you can email us at info@phoenixfoundation.ca.
And we're looking for more ideas. So
if
you have a homeschooling question or something that's worked really good for you, we'd love to have other things to talk about. So,
absolutely.
You know, what about those polar bears?
Exactly. So a couple of things. Just for everybody so that they know, we are having a First Nations celebration on June the 19th. So that is also a very special day for us. It will start at 1:30 in the afternoon and go till 3 o'clock. So please feel free to join us for that time period. If you're here at lunchtime, we'll be serving some beef buffalo stew and some bannock. Will be tasty, tasty, tasty.
I'm in.
If it's food, Jill and I are in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is coming up. June 15th is our last feast, and it will be famous literary characters and our year-end ceremony. So please make sure you join us for that as well. Remember, we do require you to register in advance. Otherwise, we might not have enough, and it's really disappointing when people show up and There's not enough.
It's very sad.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so next week, Jill, in our book, Free Range Learning, I think we're looking at trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be looking at that. I'm just looking ahead here.
You can hear us. Page 23.
For all of those who are following along.
I actually really obviously like that. I was reading.
My
son was taking a first aid course. And I had my book and I was reading and circling and underlining. And I really found this a really interesting chapter. So, you know, it'll be fun to talk about.
Absolutely.
I see you have lots of notes. Oh, no, you're still in that one.
I'm still behind. I haven't read that chapter yet.
Oh, you haven't read that chapter yet?
You're ahead. Yoo-hoo!
You know, another like sitting outside of a club horse.
There you go. Hey, and the first aid course was for his grade 10 phys ed.
His grade 10 phys ed. And,
And handy dandy because you're his mom.
I know! So if I fall down, he knows what to do now.
Exactly. I can't wait for Megan to hurry up and take a course. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.